We began a journey several weeks ago talking about dysfunctional families as we started moving through the book of 1 Corinthians. And the first week, we dealt with our sin in our lives and how often that's overlooked in our lives. So it was very much an internal thing. But for the last 3 weeks, we've been looking on the outside of the matter. And we talked about how we argue with each other and how to settle arguments according to God's word. And we talked about glorifying God with our body. And we talked about reclaiming the marriage bed for whatever circumstance and situation that you're in. But you know, it's real easy to stand in front of the mirror and say, boy, I need to start going on a diet, or I need to start taking care of my body. But what about those things that are internal? And I think today is one of the things that is often most overlooked within our families and within our own hearts. Who am I deep down inside? And how is that motivating me to behave in my family life, in my work? How is that motivating me to behave when I'm on my own? So we're going to continue looking in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 7. In verse 17, Paul starts off and he says this: only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. What a dramatic statement to start off. A lot of you believe in happenstance. And this is the way that it worked. I'm just happened to be in the church service today. I just happened to be married to this person. And I just happened to have the job that I have. But Paul, in this one sentence, says something drastically different, that by God's voice, you've been called and you've been assigned. Where are you in life? The Lord has you in that place in life for a specific reason and for a specific purpose. Now, how many of you would say, when I was younger, I really knew who I was, and man, I just had a great identity. But now, man, I'm just kind of lost. I don't even know really who I am anymore. And either it was children that did it, or my job and my boss that did it, or my wife or my husband that did it, but I'm really searching. We find ourselves in that situation a lot, don't we? Now, it could be an incredible thing if you say, well, I lost my identity because I found Christ. That's what we want. That's what we'll be talking about today. But I have a feeling that another statement is probably far truer. I lost my identity because I've been living my life trying to please the people around me. Trying to please everybody that I come in contact with. Trying to be who they want me to be instead of who I know that I am. Now, on some level, every one of us struggles with that. People think that a pastor is immune to different things that I talk about, which is a huge lie, by the way. One of the greatest temptations of a pastor is to be a people pleaser. I want to make you all happy. Because if you're happy, then you'll come and tell me that I'm a good pastor, right? And then it'll make me feel better. But you see how shallow that is. But is it any different in all of our walks of life on different levels or another? Frankly, I don't want you to be happy. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to be happy in him. We're going to get there. When we want to be who people want us to be, we run into some problems. Paul says, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Wow, what's he talking about here? Well, there's no way to make this not graphic, okay? When Abraham was called by the Lord, it wasn't anything that Abraham did. He was a pagan. He lived in Ur of the Chaldeans. And so when Abram is called, the Lord says, I'm going to bless you. All people on earth are going to be blessed by you. Your offspring, Abraham, are going to be amazing. You are going to be the father of nations. And here's going to be a symbol for you. It's called circumcision. that you and every descendant male after you are going to need to cut off the foreskin. Right. Okay, so we're there. We understand. And isn't it amazing that the Lord would say, Abraham, it's your offspring that are important. So every single time that you're going to reproduce, you're going to remember me. And you're going to love me. And your heart is going to beat for me. And nothing that he did deserved this. God just says, I want to do this for you, Abraham. This is called grace. I love you. I've called you. And what a dramatic picture to point to Jesus Christ. It's your offspring and anointing that is coming. And generation after generation are going to remember it. Can you imagine if your great-great-grandfather was circumcised and your great-grandfather and your grandfather and your dad and you and your son and your grandson? Boy, after a few generations pass, we're the circumcision, right? That's what the Jews were all about. We are the offspring of Abraham. We've got the sign. We've got the symbol. So Paul says, was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Y'all are the holy ones, right? The circumcision. Woo! Preach to me here, Paul. Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. That's right. Holiness, right? Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Right. The heathen, the pagan. What are you going to do with them? Let him not seek circumcision. What? For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Remember so many times in the gospel accounts where Jesus goes toe-to-toe with the Pharisees. And they try to corner him, to trap him in some legal thing that Jesus didn't know the law very well. And every time, it's like Jesus just bows up to them and goes toe-to-toe, and they end up running away and walking away shamed by what they don't know. And they don't understand how wise Jesus is, how he can be that wise. They didn't know he was God, or they wouldn't have been arguing with him. But so many times, Jesus addresses this very subject and says, you're not the children of Abraham just because you're circumcised. God wants to circumcise your hearts. It's the holiness in here that God was after. It was the faith of Abraham that saved him. Not this external showiness of holiness. Isn't that great how that rhymed? Sorry, I just wanted to throw that out there, that this is a well thought out machine here that's working. But if you're not circumcised, don't seek circumcision. Your life is about keeping the commandments of God. It's always been the same. It's about your heart. It's about following the Lord, what he wants you to do. You can't act like you're all holy while you're not doing what God wants you to do. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Wow. Now, if that's not tough enough, look at this. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't be concerned about it. What? Don't be concerned about it. I'm a slave. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a slave is a freed man of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a slave of Christ. Paul, what are you saying? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, therefore let him remain with God. You are bought at a price. You realize this is the third time in this book where Paul has said, you're not your own. You've been bought at a price. Now, this whole passage is really about how we interact with each other. Do we do things with the motivation to please somebody else that's around us? Are we doing things with the motivation to understand God, to know him more, and to let him use us right where we're planted. See, we either let God impact the relationships around us, or we let the relationships impact God's presence in our lives. Now, nowhere is that more powerful than in our families. Right? Because no one knows you better than your family. No one knows exactly what you don't like, so they know exactly the chain to pull to make you mad really quickly, right? That's what being a family is so fun. Ooh, this will really make him mad. I remember when I was little, my father said, you know, we were just driving. It was so random. He said, you know what word really makes me mad? He said, capiche makes me mad. Well, I never even heard of that word, capiche. He says, yeah, I hate it when people are trying to tell me that to understand something and they say capiche at the end. Well, then, you know, for like the next 10 years, we said capiche after every single thing that we spoke in our family. It's what families do. They pull on each other's chain. Now, we need to start learning how to surrender our relationships to the Lord and let the Lord impact our relationships instead of the opposite way around, instead of letting our relationships impact the way that we are with the Lord and the Lord's power over our lives. Paul says this, you were bought at a price. You know, so often we talk about how great is the free gift of Jesus Christ. And isn't it incredible that the most important thing that the world has ever seen since the foundations were laid till now is free for us? Our salvation. That God becoming flesh and dying on a cross is free for me, a gift that I can receive. I don't have to pay anything for it. But God paid something amazing for it. What a price that he paid, that even though I was still a sinner, Jesus Christ would die for me. God in the flesh would die for me. See, that's a perspective changer for us. When we understand his death for us in that way, it should change the way that we think about the relationships around us. It's a perspective shift. Can't you hear Paul saying, even in this passage, quit seeking the approval of man. You're not even your own. Why are you seeking somebody's approval of a woman or of a man or of a son or a daughter or a brother, a sister, a mother, or a father? You're not even your own. How much greater is the approval of God Almighty over your life than these other things? Paul says, remain with God. Now, why do we want to please people? Well, we want to be accepted, right? If I can make you like me, then I just feel accepted, and that's great. And if I like you, we're just this happy family, and there's no rough waves, it's just all a pretty scene and a pretty picture, right? Well, understand this, that at some point, every acceptance upon this earth is going to fail. But do you realize that when you believe in Jesus Christ, God says this, you are my child. My child. It's what John says in chapter 1. He says, but to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. He, circumcision doesn't matter, uncircumcision doesn't matter. If you keep my commandments, that's what matters. Now tell me if this is not true, that every parent that's in here, what we really want is not for our kids' hair to be cut perfectly, is not for their bed to be made, is not so that they dress nice for the rest of their life. We want their lives to honor us and what we've taught them. Son, I want you to open up your mouth and it be a respectful thing. Daughter, I want your actions to reflect good on who I am as your father and as your mother. Now the Lord says, you are my child. Now, do you know what? No matter if Ethan does what I just said or not, Do you know how long he's going to be my child? Always. There is nothing that he can do to make him not my son. You talk about acceptance. That's what the Lord says. You are my child. Come into my family. You want acceptance? Stop trying to please the people around you and start looking at what I want and start speaking after my heart. Start moving your hands and your feet in ways that would give me glory and would honor me. Why do we want to please people? Well, there's something that's built into our heart that wants to be loved, right? Man, I want you to love me. I do. I don't care who you are. I want you to love me. You want the same, don't you? I want people to love me on some point. And unless we've been hurt somewhere in our past, and so we put up all of these barriers, in that case, you need counseling, right? So we want people to love us. We want to be accepted and we want to be loved. Now, understand as God's child this statement. You can't be separated from the love of God. You can't be separated from his love. I didn't mean for this verse to become a theme verse of this whole family series, but when Paul writes in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord for his word. You can't be separated from that love. When does that change? Never. Ever. I'm always amazed at how we sin and we feel like God stopped loving us when we sin. That's not on the list. Ooh, I sinned and now God doesn't love me anymore. You know, one question has always settled it for me when wondering if God still loves me after I sin. How many years before you were born did Christ die? Roughly 1900, 2000, right? Wow. So you're telling me 2,000 years before you were even born, Christ died a death to sin once for all. For all of your sin, past, present, and future, you are forgiven in Christ. Don't let that sin beat you up and think that God stops loving you. Ask him for forgiveness and move on. He has forgiven you. The forgiveness isn't the issue. His love isn't the issue. Your head is the issue. Paul says, lead the life that God has assigned to you right where you are. I wonder why we can't be content right where we are. It's really our contentment is a lot of what this boils down to. You know, earlier when we were bowing and thanking the Lord for what he's given us, what was the list in your head? Where my family, my job, way that God has provided for us? Maybe did you think about this, that God has made you abundantly wealthy beyond your wildest dreams? Every one of you. Nobody came in here naked this morning. You were all fully clothed. Thank you. Praise the Lord, right? You're not going to have to worry about where lunch is coming from. We're in a different criteria than so much of the world, aren't we? We thank God for these things, for these abundant blessings. It's in that thanksgiving that we start to learn to be content with what God has blessed us with. Why can't we be content? Well, frankly, because we try to live our lives for ourselves. in this pleasing other people mode, right? And when we start taking the things that God has given ourselves and we're living and using those things for ourselves, we're going to burn out. We're not going to be content. We're going to want more and want more. I mean, that's what our society has sold us on. Advertising has sold us on that fact that here's something you've never seen before, but you can't live without it, right? And so we don't live this life content because we're not thanking the Lord and just resting in his blessing and who he has made us. Or maybe on another end of the spectrum, we say, well, I want to leave a legacy, right? So I'm just going to build better things. I'm going to be better in my job. I'm going to look better. I'm going to do better. And the next generation is going to know that I'm here. That also leads to burnout, doesn't it? I mean, what legacy can we leave apart from the kingdom of God? If we leave something behind that is not a part of his kingdom, it's going to be burned up. It'll be forgotten. The Lord says, you're my child, and I love you. See, that starts to define who we are a little bit differently. It's not the stuff. It's not what people think of me with the stuff. It's God's voice, what he thinks about me. I even wonder this. This would be for those who are a part of the circumcision, right? Those who are holy in the Lord. Why do you do the things that you do for God? Why do you have to do those things? Well, God wants me to feed the poor, and he wants me to do these things. He wants me to be his hands and feet. Yeah, that's right. He does want you to do those things. Why do you do those things? See, if you do those things because you're motivated by God's love, then tomorrow morning you're going to wake up with joy on your heart for those things. And the next day and the next day. You're going to find strength each new day for what the Lord has prepared for you. It's going to be beautiful. Until God has completed that work and that task in you, it's going to be great. But so easily we get to this place of, oh man, I really messed up yesterday and I sinned in a great way yesterday. So today I'm going to wake up and I'm going to show God what a good Christian I am today. And today I'm really going to earn his love is our mentality. And then we get burned out. Then we get upset. God, why isn't anybody else helping me do this thing? Because I'm doing it for myself. Not out of motivation for love for the Lord. In your family, do you find that you're trying to earn each other's love? Maybe that's why you're so miserable. Or do you just love each other because they're your family? I know there are brothers that can be difficult to love. I know there are sisters that can be difficult to love. Mothers, husbands, sons, daughters. But regardless of what you've done, you're my family. And I'm going to love you. That's what God shows us. Why do we want to please people so much? Well, we want to feel useful, don't we? Of course we want to be useful. Man, I want you to love me and I want you to like me and we're going to do something and you're going to need me and this is great. You know what Jesus says to those who follow him? You are the salt and the light of the world. The salt of the earth and the light of the world. Paul says this, don't become slaves to men. Remain with God. Remain with God. Jesus says you are the salt and the light. Man, you're not the salt and the light so that you can make more money for yourself. You're not the salt and the light so that you can have a bigger house and everybody can be in awe of your house even more. You're not the salt and the light so that everybody can like you. You're the salt and the light so that Jesus can transform the relationships of those that are around you, through you. Just even imagine, well, what are these attributes of salt? Well, man, it can heal things. It can preserve things. It can spice it up. Light shines into the darkness and makes what is dark light again and enables people to see. And Jesus says, that's what you are created for in those relationships around you. You talk about useful. By the word of Christ in your heart, you have the power to change the lives of those that are around you, right where you are. What do? You work for the electric company? God has you there for a reason. Do you work for a job scooping dirt all day? God has you there for a reason. Sit in a cubicle all day long? God has you there for a reason. Do you stay at home with your children? God has you there for a reason. Do you teach? God has you there. Do you sit in a classroom and listen to a teacher all day long? God has you there for a reason, to be used by Him, to be His hands and feet, to be the salt and the light of the earth right where you are. The word of Christ in you has the power to change the lives around you. Now, Paul isn't saying this, and God isn't saying this either. Don't ever move and don't ever try to improve the lot of your life. He's not saying that. But he's saying you're either going to be motivated by who you are on the inside. You see, that's how Christ works. When none of these Jews could change what they did, they could never change what they did. They always did bad. That's like me. I can never change what I do on my own. God said, here's Jesus Christ. Let him change your heart. Then out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth is going to start speaking. And your hands and feet are going to start following what I am transforming from the inside out. So that you start to look like me. From the heart to the outside. It can never be the opposite way where we try to change the stuff on the outside to impact the inside. We will fail every single time. God says, you're my child and I love you. And I want you to be used right where you are. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't change that lot, but how do we change it? By the Lord's leadership from the inside out. God, why am I feeling this tugging that I'm supposed to put my resume in at this other job? I recognize that voice. That's the same voice that is telling me to share you with my coworkers. That's telling me to pray with my wife or with my husband. I recognize that. I'm going to follow you. But the opposite and what brings us a lot of pain is to say, man, I'm just sick of this job. I'm going to find whatever I can find and do this thing and get out of this. And then we find heartache. And mistake, right? God, I want you to lead me where you want to go. Paul says, don't become slaves to men. And that's what happens when we place their opinion above God's opinion. We find our heart on this roller coaster. Oh, this is my identity. Oh, these people abandoned me. I don't know who I am. Oh, this is my new identity because I have new friends. Oh, no, I don't know who I am. Oh, this is who I am. I got a new job. Oh, I don't know who I am anymore. Know who you are in Christ, church, and stop the roller coaster. Paul says this, don't be slaves to men. Remain with God. Remain with God. Do you know something that has been made so clear to me in my walk with the Lord? When the Lord wants me to do something, it remains. That's why God says throughout the Bible, wait on Him. You're going to tell really quickly if something was just a flash in a pan or if it was God doing something in your life. The work of the Holy Spirit remains. Let's look at your family for just a second. You know, there are some of you in here that have been seeking the approval of your mother and father all of your lives. And you're never going to get it. Paul says, don't be a slave to men. Don't be a slave to them. That doesn't determine who you are just because you can't get that approval that you need. You find that approval in the Lord. You are His child. is only three things here. You're his child and he loves you and he wants you to be used in his kingdom. Don't be a slave to men. Remain in God. Man, brothers and sisters, you've been beating your head against the wall because your brother or your sister is frustrating you, right? And oh, they'll never change and I don't understand them. I know what that's like. Don't be a slave to men. Their voice doesn't dictate who you are inside of your heart. God's voice does. Remain with God. Moms, dads, there's some of you in this room that are so tired of seeing your son or your daughter make mistake after mistake, and you're wondering, why don't they just do the things that I tried to train them up and how to do it and behave right, and why do they always have to learn the hard way? And your heart's on this roller coaster being thrust down into the valley and then getting up on this mountaintop when there's any sign of hope. Don't be a slave to men. Don't let that dictate your self-worth as a mother or a father, as a brother, a sister, or a son, or a daughter. Your worth doesn't come from them. It comes from Jesus Christ. You are his child, and he loves you, and he wants to use you for the glory of his kingdom. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. Father, how we love you. We thank you for this time. God, we need you to reveal yourselves in our heart, to reveal yourself in our heart, that we can know and follow you all the days of our life, Father, that when circumstances come our way that would make our heart want to be on this roller coaster ride, God, that we could look beyond the circumstance to hear your voice saying, my child, I love you. Be used by me right where you are. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.